love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. And all my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful song. I was enjoying, all right, singing it right here. But, you know, I had to log in and then, you know, good to be here every time with you. I count it a beautiful privilege. And thanks for always being there. I know you're there. You're so good to know. Hey, someone's getting blessed. Tell me how the series has been. You're seated at a table, right? Having a great time with the Holy Ghost. Catching revelations of God's word. So thank you for always joining the Daily Faith Boost. And then, you know, for sharing if you have, and for sharing in advance if you haven't. I believe lives will be immensely blessed by what God is doing through us here. So our text, all right, is the 23rd Psalm. So allow me today read from the NLT. Psalm 23 from verse 1 to the end. The Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. We could spend forever, okay, on that one verse, because the totality of all that Jesus is to us, everything he's come to do for us, is encapsulated in that one verse. He has paid the price for all things. He has met all our needs. So the 103rd Psalm will say, bless the Lord, O my soul, all right, forget not all his benefits. And you realize if you're not mindful of his benefits, you'll be beclouded. You'll get busy grumbling, complaining, focusing on things you think he hasn't done. But hey, look at all his benefits. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. This is what the psalmist said. And this, I believe, is our confession. Ought to be our confession. And the more we stay with it, we'll realize, oh, this is my confession. As much as I might not, as of today, walk in certain things he's provided, doesn't mean he hasn't provided it. I just have to keep growing in grace, growing in the understanding of his word, and, you know, growing my capacity to receive. And that's all. But hey, he has provided. So the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. Oh, beautiful. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect me and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. So this is the 23rd Psalm. Please, if you do not mind, make this your daily confession. You could pick a few verses. I mean, right here we have protection, provision, safety, calmness, restoration, renewal, healing. We have it all here. Fresh anointing. It's all in this. I mean, how could one chapter of the Bible be so loaded? But it is. It is. It is. Like, seriously, the 23rd Psalm is. And over the years, we've, you know, abandoned such a beautiful portion of the Bible to spiritualists and all, and we just feel, well, it's not for we charismatic folk. Hey, this is New Testament. This is for us, all right? I have people who try to argue and say, no, but the Lord is our shepherd. Or has he stopped being our shepherd? The Lord is our shepherd. Hey, so he is, and just, you know, get a whole load of all that is available. So the fifth verse is our take for the week. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. Yesterday was super so loaded. We talked about the young man called Mephibosheth, the grandson of King Saul, all right, and the child of Jonathan. And David had to find him in 2 Samuel chapter 9 and said, hey, I need someone from the house of Saul. I want to be kind. I need to show the kindness of God. They found Mephibosheth, whom had been dropped when he was a kid and made him crippled. And David said, I need him henceforth to sit at my table, treated as one of the sons of the king. He had access to whatever, you know, he is done there. Hey, he sits at the table of the king. All right, and that for us is type and shadow. We are brought, as it were, from Lodabar. We are adopted into the family of God, and we're sat, you know, or made to sit at the high table of the king, at the dining table of the king, where all the lush pleasures, all right, of the king's reward or the king's inheritance or the king's, you know, palace, you know, can be found. And then you don't say, hey, I'm not worthy. No, the king says, you're here as a son. Okay, everybody sitting here is equal. We'll have rights to all that is available on the table. And this for us figuratively points to who we are, all right, in Christ, points to what we have received in Christ Jesus. And Bible lets us know, hey, we have been blessed, all right? Acts chapter 20 and the 32nd verse, Paul says, I commend you unto God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance amongst them that are sanctified. So we have been elevated, okay? And we've been brought in, all right, into the kingdom of the Father, the kingdom of the Son, all right? We've been made to be heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. You and I have rights and privileges. I love the way Ephesians chapter 2, well, the second chapter of Ephesians puts it. Now I'm reading the NLT from the fourth verse, Ephesians 2:4. It says, but God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved, for he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we're united with Christ. So he raised us up, brought us from Lodabar, all right, and made us to sit, all right, right there on the table of the king. And then he equated us, all right, with his son and say, hey, you are now in my son, having the rights and privileges of my son. The seventh verse now, remember that from yesterday, verse 7 says, so God, all right, we'll pick the NLT and then go to TPT, all right? So God can point to us, all right? God did all this so he can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness. So God's grace and kindness is heavy loaded, all right? As examples of incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us as shown in all that he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. The Passion Translation says, throughout the coming ages, we will be the visible display of the infinite, limitless riches of God's grace and kindness, which he has showered upon us in Christ Jesus. I'll take that one more time. Throughout the coming ages, we will be the visible display of the infinite, limitless riches of the grace and kindness of God. Like we did yesterday, if you don't mind, we'll quickly do that right now. Say with me, I am, all right, the visible display of the infinite, limitless riches of God's grace and kindness. I am the visible display. All right, use this, all right? Use it, let it help your faith to reach out for favor. Let it help your faith to turn the table when things right now don't seem to be going right for you. Turn the table. Declare, I am. Write it somewhere, please. Should I give you a few seconds? Type it. That's the Passion Translation, TPT, right? Sometimes I know I get to say Passion Translation. So I remember someone had to ask me what was that that he's had to search for Passion Translation. It's TPT, the Passion Translation, the Passion Translation. So please just find it and let it bless you. The Passion Translation, TPT. All right, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 7. Please hope you've written that down. Check it. Throughout the coming ages, we will be the visible display of the infinite, limitless riches of His grace and kindness, which He has showered upon us. Hallelujah! Glory to God. I am a product of God's favor. I am a recipient of God's favor. I am a symbol, an emblem of the favor of God. Men see me and say, whoa, God is good. I want that to be what you say. Oh, don't say things are tough. Oh, don't say things are rough. Oh, don't say, I don't think I can survive. No, in the name of Jesus, I declare that I'm the visible display of the infinite, limitless riches of God's grace and kindness. He's showered all this on me because I am in Christ. And put your foot down, speak it to the mountain, speak it to everything going on around you, and you will see the word come alive. Glory, glory to God. It's just so beautiful. Like, really, so beautiful. So you and I have got to understand that He, the Father, has set a table before us in the presence of our enemies. All right? He has set a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Oh, glory, glory to God. I'm going to look at something quite interesting. I know you know it. All right? It's Luke, the 14th chapter, all right, from the 16th verse. Then said he, that's Jesus, all right, unto him, referring to, all right, the man seated by where he was having to eat meat, all right. He said, a certain man made a great supper, and he invited many. That's Luke 14, 16. A certain man made a great supper, invited many, and he sent his servants at supper time to say to them that he had invited, come, for all things are now ready. Please understand that. Please get the context, all right. Supper, all right, this man, all right, invited people for supper, all right? Verse 17 again says, and he sent his servant at supper time. Hope you get that, all right? Now, there's supper. There's just a mixture of some call supper dinner, supper, all right? In certain places, all right, in the countries, you find that dinner could be in the afternoon, and supper is at night. And then, of course, for most of us, lunch is afternoon, and then dinner is at night. So supper here would still likely be the final meal of the day. But like I said, diverse interpretations about this. But you find that he sent his servant out at supper time, all right, to say to them that were invited, come, for all things are ready. All things are now ready. Picture what could be ready. Obviously, food is ready. Hey, I mean, he was in the business meeting. It was supper. 16 again says, a certain man made a great supper. All right, isn't this sound like Psalm 23? He set a table before me. Message translation says there, a six-course dinner. So here, it's a great supper. Not just supper. This is not a bachelor saying, hey, could you just come to my house and let me try and whip up something for you? Maybe some what now? Pasta, Indomie, you know? No, this is great. So this obviously must be table loaded with what? Turkey, beef, all right, and salad, and then there's that all kinds of rice, and you know, hey, let me not get anybody, you know, hungry right now, but you could picture all this, all right? So he said, go tell them everything is ready. Of course, sad story, 18, and they all with one consent began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground and I must needs go to see it. I pray that you excuse me. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I need to go test it. All right. I pray you excuse me. Another said, I have just been married. All right. So I cannot come. So the servant came, explained to these things to his Lord. And the master of the house, being angry, said to the servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in here the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, we've done it now. All right. As you've commanded, and yet there is still room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways, hedges, and compel them to come, that my house may be filled. Please understand that. Go, call them, All right, let them come so that my house may fill. You find that this Lord, all right, didn't want any part of what he had prepared to be wasted. And this for us shows the gospel. God is saying, go tell people. Of course, you find in the 24th verse, it says that those that were invited, all right, none of them will taste. Those that ignore the invitation, none of them will taste. He's basically saying those who don't receive, all right, those who don't accept his invitation of salvation will not enjoy the things that he has provided. All right, that's 24. For I say unto you that none of those men which were invited shall taste of the supper. It's not, oh, I don't want them to. It's because they've turned down the invitation. So God is saying, go tell everybody that everything they're looking for is available in Christ. God has set a table. God has set a table. God has set a table. And when God set a table, trust that it's God. So the table is loaded. Something I found out, you know, sometime back from the 36th Psalm, and it's quite interesting. Psalm 36, and we'll read the 8th and the 9th verses, okay? Psalm 36, 8 and 9, NLT. It says, you feed them from the abundance of your own house, letting them drink from your river of delights. You feed them from the abundance of your house, letting them drink from the river of your delight. Now, this is so quite interesting because King James says that they shall be satisfied abundantly, or abundantly satisfied rather. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of your house, and you will make them drink of the river of your pleasure. So this again shows a feast. God bringing people into his own house, all right, for a feast. And Bible didn't say they ate. No, it says they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of your house. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of your house. It means you're going to eat and then eat and you're going to be full. The word abundantly satisfied here, all right, in the Hebrew is satiety. Satiety, when you're completely fed and full, when you've had enough, more than enough, okay? But I mean, if economics teaches us that human wants are insatiable, that's the word satiety, right? The human wants are insatiable, but God here says, no, I can fill, I can satisfy. And it's amazing that this was what Jesus in John chapter 4 was talking to the woman at the well about. Because if you read the 8th into the 9th verse, you get the picture. Verse 8 again, NLT, says, you feed them from the abundance of your house, letting them drink from the river of your delights, for you are the fountain of life, all right? Your light by which we see, the light by which we see light. So he says they drink, they are satisfied, and you are the fountain of life. In John 4, Jesus told the woman at the well that whoever drinks this water that I give will never thirst again. That's a satisfaction. He now says the water I give will be in him a well of water springing up, or a fountain of water. So all Jesus quoted was Psalm 36, 8 and 9. That there is a provision from God that will completely, radically, outrightly meet all our needs. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He set the table before us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you getting this? Because in John 4, he said, when you drink, you'll be filled. When you drink, you need anything again. That means truly, truly, the Lord being our shepherd has gone ahead of us to sort all things. The Lord being our shepherd has gone ahead of us, okay, to sort all things. So no one has said all things already. So who needs healing? It's available. Who needs restoration? It's available. Who needs direction? It's available. Who needs protection and provision? It's available. Whatever you need, all right? Truth is, we now need a revelation, all right, of the things that he has done. We need a reality of the things he has made available for us. Glory to God. And for the next few minutes, allow, all right, us just run through. Glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Some of the awesome, awesome things. And I'm just going to work, you know, selecting a few verses in the Bible that have to deal with the word all right? So because, hey, he's made all things available, all right? The Lord is my shepherd, so I lack nothing. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. So NLT, all right, tells us, okay, that all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with, King James, remember, all, okay? So NLT says, blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. I'll take that now from the Passion Translation. It says, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has already been lavished upon us. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'll tell that again. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has already been lavished upon us as a loved gift, as a love gift from our wonderful Heavenly Father. Beautiful. Isn't this exciting? So God, in expressing his love towards you, all right, blessed you, okay, with all spiritual blessings. He just lavished it, poured it out lavishly on you. Guys, we need a revelation of this. These are not mere words, all right? This is, you know, I remember Dad Hagin was, you know, talking to someone, all right, and he said to her, if Jesus appeared to you right now, all right, and said to you, after today, whatever you say will come to pass. And the woman said, oh, I'm going to believe it. He said, but God's word is God speaking to you, all right? So if Jesus would appear to you and say that to you and you believe him, then go to Mark 11:23 and believe it and have whatever you say. You know, so we've come to place a higher premium, all right, on divine appearances, all right, supernatural appearances or divine utterances, like prophecies and all, much more than we give to the written word of God, much more. But it is the written word of God that the apostles, all right, read and understood by the revelation of the Holy Ghost, and then they were able to preach. Please understand that. Okay, so what we refer to as the Old Covenant, all right, and then the Book of Moses, I mean, the Pentateuch, all right? So you find that, as I said, the Torah, anyway. Now, the first five books of the Bible. Now, you find that all of this is available to us, okay, and then we learn from it. That's what they read. Everything they teach about Christ is from there. In Luke 24, Jesus met those two disciples going to Emmaus. And what did he do? He picked from the law and the prophets and explained to them the reality of Christ Jesus. So it was what was written. Yes, the Holy Ghost breathed upon it. And that's what he's doing to us, granting us revelation. So you are blessed with all many things, all spiritual blessings, all. You are blessed, right, with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. 2 Peter 1:3 that we've looked at for 2 days, all right, says God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So number one, you've been blessed with all spiritual blessings. All spiritual. You've been blessed. You've been lavished, right, with all spiritual blessings, all right? Then now God has made all grace. 2 Peter 1:3, okay? He's given unto you all things that pertain to life and godliness. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all my need. I'm just working, you know, on our minds by the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Ghost working on our minds by the words he's granting me to speak to you today. All, the word all. All right. God has given unto you all things that pertain to life and godliness. God supplies all your needs, supplies all, not some, all, not some, all, not some, all. Are you still there? God supplies all. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The book of Corinthians, all right, 1 Corinthians, just pick a few from Corinthians. So we'll do 1 Corinthians and the third chapter of 1 Corinthians, the 21st verse, 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, and then the 21st verse. Allow me to use the King James here. It says, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. All things. So you're blessed with all spiritual blessings, lavished with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. All right. God has given unto you all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And now here, 1 Corinthians 3:21. Therefore, let no man glory in men. Why? For all things are yours. 22 says, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, all the world, all life or death, or things present or things to come, all are yours. I mean, even ministry gifts. I mean, even me as a ministry gift, I am yours. That's why I'm here every day, to bring God's word to you. I am yours. All things are yours. And you are Christ's, and Christ is God. So all things are yours. All things are yours. All things are yours. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, 1 Corinthians 2:8. Well, let me pick 9. So if you know me, you know I like this portion, you know. It says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor hear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the thing that God has prepared for them that love him. But God, rather, has revealed these things to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, not some, all things, spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. 12 now says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit that is of God, that we may know the things that have been freely given to us. So we could say that we may know all things that have been freely given to us. Because verse 10 says, the spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. So these are the things the spirit makes known to us. So for you and I, we've come to understand that the spirit makes things known to us. He reveals the mind and the will and the thoughts of God to us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So 2 Corinthians, all right, chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians. I know you know this one because it's verse 17. I'm going, you're like, verse 17? Yeah, verse 17. And therefore it says to us, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Someone say, yeah, no, you need to know it well. All things have become new. All things have become new. All right. All things. Maybe the lineage you're coming from, things have been wrecked there. Things are not right there. There seems to be certain traces of curses or certain things going on, health. All right. Hereditary stuff, you know, and all. No, all things. Fight the fight of faith. All things have been made new. My bloodline has been made new. My inheritance is now new in Christ. My lot is new in Christ. All that concerns me is new in Christ. My lineage is new. All things are new. All things are new. Your past might have been washed off. Your past might have been wrecked. But you have a new future. A glorious one indeed in front of you. All things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All things are new. All things are new. All things are new. Are you there screaming to yourself? All things are new. All things are new. Glory to God. Don't let the devil kid you. Don't let the devil bring condemnation to remind him. Satan, all things are new. All things, my health is new. Yes, I might have had a faulty health record before I got born again, or even after I've been born again without me knowing so much of God's word. Now I know, devil, that all things have been new from when I got born again. So now I'm saying it to your face. I'm saying it in the face of the sickness and the disease, whether it's the ulcer, the asthma, the diabetes, the high blood pressure, all right, the bone conditions, whatever it is. I mean, whatever it is, from your head to your back, to your nails, to your teeth, to your skin. Listen, all things are new. All things are new. Oh, so your health record is new. You have a supernatural health record. As far as God is concerned, by the wounds of Jesus, you've been healed. As far as God is concerned, Jesus took your infirmities, carried away your sicknesses. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory. Hallelujah. 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 Now we'll jump to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. You will love this one. I'll pick it from the King James first. It says, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work. I want you to quickly note here the emphasis, all right? And God is able to make how many? All grace abound towards who? You. Yes, you listening this day, morning, evening, noontime, whatever time zone or whenever it is you're able to listen to this, God is able to make all grace abound to you. Someone says, oh, if he's able to, that means he hasn't. No, he has. He has lavished you with all blessings, all right? But the point here is he's now able to channel what he's done to you. In context, Paul is talking about giving, right? That day that so sparingly would reap sparingly, all right? That's from verse 6 of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. He says, but this I say to you, all right, or this I say, if I just read it as King James puts it, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. It says, every man according as he has proposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound to you. Listen, giving gets to unlock certain graces. Giving, you know, you have to learn to give. You have to learn to reciprocate. It's good to share testimonies of how you've received and how you were blessed and how I want to confess, the Lord is my shepherd, I do not lack. But it will be great also when you are able to give, and when through you, okay, thanksgiving can abound. When through you, all right, through you, which is what verse 11 of this 2 Corinthians 9 says, that being enriched in everything, all right, to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. When we learn to be generous to other people, thanksgiving arises unto God. Do you understand? So this verse 8 now comes in the context of giving. So I want you on your own to look at it. We'll pick it up again, I trust, maybe tomorrow. NLT says, and God will generously provide all you need. So the word all appears again, all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share to others. Make this your faith confession. Back to KJV, all right? I just like the emphasis on the word all and everything here. God is able to make all grace abound towards you so that you always, that's all the time, right? All grace, always having all sufficiency in all things may abound unto every. That's all good work. King James, all right? So I'll take it again. And God is able to make all grace abound unto you that you always having all sufficiency in all things. So that means glory to God. I need to take it one more time. God is able to make what? All grace. Grace is God's favor and supernatural ability. All right. God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Yes, you. All right. Grace abound towards you that you, yes, you always, that's all the time, having all sufficiency. All right. In everything. All right. May abound unto every good work. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God makes all grace abound towards you. Allow me end with the Amplified Classic this very day. And God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance so that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support and furnished with abundance for every good work and charitable donation. By this, I would like to release you into a favorable day, all right, a favorable, you know, day, a favorable season of your life that you would enjoy a manifestation of all grace. Don't forget to be a giver, though. Don't forget to be a giver. All grace abounds to you in the name of Jesus. You are bound, you increase, you are bound, you increase, you are bound in the name of Jesus. I will see you tomorrow. Please share. Let someone get blessed by this. Blessings. Praise God.